Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Alexis Madrigal. Did you make a big purchase during the pandemic that seemed like a good idea at the time, and now you've come to regret? Whether it's a fancy exercise bike, a Vanagon, a puppy, or a bulk shipment of whole wheat flour, you're not alone. We'll spend the hour reflecting on the decisions we made during the height of the pandemic and how they've held up as the world has slowly, painfully crept back towards normalcy. Maybe you're one of those people who has a garage full of unused exercise equipment who maintains, "I regret nothing." Or maybe just those extra packets of ramen at the very back of your pantry are driving you nuts. There's room for all kinds of forum listeners and regrets. They're all coming up next after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Despite its horrors and everyday annoyances, the thing that intrigued me most about the pandemic has been the way that it let us toss off our previous selves. The you who entered March 2020 was sustained and held together by the world as it was. Then, when everything went haywire, there was a new space to be something different if you had the privilege to do more than survive. People seized that space, moving cities, quitting jobs, buying different things, starting hobbies, meeting neighbors. All at once, the parameters of the world were different, so all of us were too. The pandemic isn't over, as the regular exposure alerts from school and work can attest. But maybe we've gotten enough distance from those early pandemic days of chaos to start reflecting. What did we learn about ourselves, our blocks, our cities? Not every new habit or purchase or decision worked out. In fact, people have some regrets out there. And that's what today's show is about. Regret. The things you bought, the choices you made, that which you did or did not do in the altered reality of the pandemic. This is really one of those shows where we expect you to drive us places. So give us a call. Tell us about a pandemic purchase or lifestyle change that you've come to regret. Why do you regret it? What'd you learn from the experience? You can give us a call, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it's KQED Forum, and the email is forum@kqed.org. Joining us to discuss some pandemic regrets, we've got Jorge Barraza, professor of psychology and director of the Applied Psychology Master's Program at the University of Southern California. Welcome, Jorge.
Thank you. Happy to be with you.
We also have Aparna Labru, a professor of marketing and a consumer psychologist at Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Alexis. Happy to be here.
So maybe let's start out with you, Jorge. I mean, various articles, including a recent piece in Vox, The Pandemic Impulse Purchases We Grew to Hate by Emily Stewart, lists a bunch of different items that people decided weren't worth it. Bikes, hot tubs, air fryers, even pets in some cases. Yet there are other people who say those are things they can't live without. Starting with you, Jorge, are there pandemic purchases that you regret making?
Absolutely. I think I'm not alone when I will say I regretted the amount that I spent on exercise equipment during the pandemic. You know, this was a time where our lives were disturbed. The habits that we had were disrupted, and we tried to form new behaviors to accommodate for the changes in our lives. And one of the things was the closing of gyms. And so I purchased probably a little too much that I thought I'd be using, and then turned out that I didn't so much.
You know, I'm the opposite. I ended up in the Pelotonosphere, as regular listeners know, and I found it like just absolutely wonderful and a great hedge against wildfires is how I think of it, too, when you can't go exercise outside. How about you, Aparna? Do you have any pandemic regrets?
Well, thankfully, I did not go ahead and spend a whole bunch of money on something, or I did not make big lifestyle changes. So I did not bulk purchase a whole garage full of whole wheat flour. I did not buy a new house. I adore animals. I did not buy a new pet. But yes, of course, I did make a lot of purchases that just make me smile now. So for instance, I went ahead and bought a little slow cooker. Now it's still lying in its closet in its original packing. That time I was craving healthy foods, comfort foods. Mm-hmm. It wasn't very expensive, to be clear, and it was on sale. So it doesn't feel that bad.
You know, so why didn't you go make a bunch of wild purchases? Was this something that was like intentional? Like you knew from your field of study that in a moment like this, people might make regrettable decisions?
I wish it was that. Actually, with the little purchases I made, I think I suffered from a lot of cognitive biases anyway. I suffered from a familiarity bias, which is the innate preference that people have for things that are familiar. And this gets enhanced during periods of uncertainty. So I did buy that, but I continued to use my old scratchy one setting comfort cooker, which I already had. I suffered from the status quo bias, the fact that I wouldn't want to change my lifestyle as much once I actually engaged in purchases. Mm-hmm. And so I did make a lot of these small purchases, but they just make me smile. Mm-hmm. What I do regret actually is the inaction, because I feel that there was a lot of inaction regret. I could have done so much more. Mm-hmm. I hunkered down. And I could have gone out and actually embraced remote living and done something more. I also made good changes in my life. I went ahead and started exercising more. I did not buy the exercise equipment that Jorge did, but I actually went for a walk every day. I ate healthier. And I've given those things up right now as we've come back to normal. So I regret that as well.
Yeah. You know what? Let's just go to the phones early. Let's bring in Rachel in San Francisco. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for taking my call. This is such a classic thing to talk about. So I was just talking to your screener, and I have quite a few things. The first one was I went cuckoo about germs and bought a very expensive steamer so that I could basically nuke my entire kitchen, the floors, everything, and I've only used it once. And then my daughter had to come home. Wonderful dog, and I don't regret getting her, but now I regret how much it's costing me to take care of her because I'm now traveling for work again.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, it's a doozy. And then I also still have about 4 cases of toilet paper and paper towels.
What kind of dog did you get? Just curious.
She's a mutt, but she's awesome. She's like a miniature poodle mix, and she gets me out every day. I keep walking. Like she was just talking about how she doesn't walk anymore, but yeah. I walk her every day, which is such a gift, but darn, animals are expensive.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and Jorge, this seems like a perfect example of where, like, you know, in the pandemic, having a puppy, having a dog, you're at home all day, at least for some people, that's sort of one thing. But now work travel comes back. Now people are back in offices, you know, at least in some days of the week. And suddenly the dog gets tougher. How should we think about that?
Yeah, it's a great point that we make decisions based on our anticipations of what the future is going to be like. Ultimately, most decisions are cost benefit calculation, whether it's conscious or unconscious. And regret usually comes from that misconstrual that we think that there's going to be more benefit relative to the cost that we bear at that moment in time when we purchase that thing, or the cost of maintaining, like say, a puppy. So that regret is going to be coming out as we see with these kinds of instances, the more we miscalculate. And when that's likely to happen is when these decisions are made on the heat of the moment based on emotions that might be driving these.
Yeah. You know, Perna, for me, a lot of the most regrettable purchases I made were in a very particular kind of time and place. That time was later at night after I'd had like very long days. I was working on a very intense project at the time. The place was Instagram. What can you tell me about sort of the relationship between sort of online purchasing behavior, in particular in these apps that have become malls, and in particular kind of late at night or like fatigued kind of purchase decisions?
You know, you're absolutely right in this observation of yours. And I think many of the listeners would also connect with this. A lot of us ended up, because of the stress and the uncertainty we were facing, looking for things that were comforting. And so we ended up at night browsing through Amazon or Instagram and buying things. And in general, people, their purchase decisions tend to be open to various influences. The first level of influences is individual level influences, things that are going on with me. So if I'm tired, if I'm depleted, I'm more likely to go ahead and buy things that make me feel safe or that make me feel happy. It gives me a sense of control to actually buy things. And that might happen, you know, late in the evening, you're feeling tired, you might go ahead and buy it. The second thing that goes ahead and prompts purchases could be something like a network effect. So you may have actually gone on Facebook, looked at things that others are posting. You might have felt this urge to go ahead and buy. Again, in an unprecedented time of uncertainty, people look for social proof and the kind of things that others are doing when they go ahead and make their decisions. A third thing that influences us is the situation itself or the situational context. The way information is being presented to us can sometimes prompt us to make decisions that we did not intend to do. So all of these things, fatigue, mood, need for comfort, need for certainty, network effects, and the way information is being presented to us can prompt us to make decisions that we might not make otherwise and then come to regret.
And that's why I own 9 chore coats. That's made it pretty much all of those factors, I think, are at play in those purchases. We're talking about the pandemic purchases people regret with Aparna Labrue, a professor of marketing and consumer psychologist at Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern, and Jorge Barraza, a professor of psychology and director of the Applied Psychology Master's Program at USC. We're also hearing from you. Tell us about a pandemic purchase or lifestyle change that you've come to regret. Why and what did you learn from that? You can give us a call, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it's KQED Forum, and the email is forum@kqed.org. We have a lot of submissions coming in already. Poor Ethan. Ethan tweets, at the start of the bread craze and the shortages thereof, I bought 3 massive packages of bulk yeast. I've gotten through 1/3 of one. Oh, well, at least yeast doesn't go bad. Norm tweets on the other end of the spectrum, rowing machine was the best $1,000 I've ever spent. I couldn't tell you how endorphins work or dopamine or serotonin, but for stress management and good sleep, there's nothing like it. Highly recommended. Another listener tweeted, I bought a surface cleaning UV robot that won't shut up about my Netflix playlist. Yes, I regret buying it. I might also suggest you could turn it off. That might work. Jessica tweets, I bought a lot of things during the pandemic, and I only regret one, a Himalayan salt lamp. In case you're not familiar, it's a lamp carved out of pink Himalayan salt that is purported to provide light as well as health and spiritual benefits. I'm also glad it is exactly what it says on the tin. I'm Alexis Madrigal. This is Forum. Stay tuned for more of your regrets after the break.
Support for Forum is sponsored by Stanford's Master of Liberal Arts program. Have you found yourself reflecting on your life and education? Perhaps you think it's too late or you're too busy to earn a master's degree. Stanford's part-time MLA program is designed for anyone, from recent college grads to retirees, who'd like to pursue an interdisciplinary course of study in the liberal arts. MLA students also enjoy access to the world-class facilities on the Stanford campus. Information session held May 16th. Learn more at mla.stanford.edu.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. We're talking about the pandemic purchases that people regret with Jorge Barraza, professor of psychology and director of the Applied Psychology Master's Program at USC, and Aparna Labrue, professor of marketing and a consumer psychologist at Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern. And of course, we're talking with you as well. And I'd love to hear Kalyan in Sunnyvale. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you. My regret was similar to what one of your guests, Aparna, mentioned. My wife and I, we always thought, hey, life in Bay Area was very hectic and busy, and we wanted to explore how life in other cities would be. But we always thought, oh, well, we have our jobs here. That's where our life is. When pandemic hit, we thought, hey, this might be a time. But somehow felt, it's a big thing. I don't know if you like it or not. But now that life is back to close to normal, that's a big regret that we have, thinking, man, we should have done that. I don't know why we didn't do that. That would have been a perfect cover. That was my regret.
Where would you have gone?
I would have gone to Virginia. My family, a bunch of my cousins live there, so I wanted to be close to the family too.
Yeah, yeah. I've spent a little time in Virginia. You don't need it. You should stay here. It's totally fine. that's great. Let me ask you, Jorge, about this. Thank you for that call. You know, we've been talking mostly about things, but these experiences, like where people would have had to make these sort of financial and logistical maneuvers to have a new experience, you know, living in a new city, say, is there a similar kind of calculus that people go through, or is that actually, you know, kind of different because it requires more from us?
Yeah, yes and no. You end up finding that decision-making is decision-making to a certain extent, where it's just about the weighing of different costs and benefits. Now, when it's a larger decision, of course, there's a lot more hesitancy of making that decision. So a lot more stress and uncertainty can come from that, right? It's the difference between, say, buying a candy bar versus buying a car. You're clearly going to be thinking a lot more about one versus the other one. But the caller really brings up this thing about inaction regret, which was mentioned earlier. So a lot of consumers do experience that sense of inaction regret just as much as they experience regret from purchases. And what we see is a lot of companies do start leveraging that as an opportunity to get consumers to take action by making things feel a lot more urgent than they really are, with things such as scarcity or having something be for a limited time only, per se.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Leslie writes, I never buy on Amazon and instead support local businesses, but my sister convinced me to use her Amazon Prime to buy several electric blankets to make the delivery more worth it. I also purchased some olive oil, big amount of paper towels. Each item came on different days with different huge gas-powered mega trucks with individual boxes, and the paper towels and blanket were wrapped in bubble wrap. A huge amount of waste, gas, carbon footprint for a simple order to make my life a bit more convenient. I do regret that. Aparna, this is a really interesting one because it's really not about regretting the thing itself, but more about the mode of purchase. In particular, the environmental, you know, costliness of that mode of purchase. Is that something that you've seen kind of rising, that people don't necessarily regret what they bought, but how they bought it?
You know, I'm so glad you brought up this question, because I do actually purchase a lot on Amazon. And this is exactly what I regret when packages come in and I think about the cost to the environment. And I think that the pandemic was an interesting time, because when people feel a lot of uncertainty, they look outside and they also start thinking about others around them and the impact that things are having. So my sense is that during that time, people were just more vocal. They were engaging much more in collective action. And that might have also associated with becoming more partisan, which was not a great thing. But also just general concern for the kinds of actions they're doing and how these are going to influence in the long term. So I do think that these things are important. Typically, people think about the environment and things like that when they're actually in a better mood, when they can foresee the future and they're thinking long term. But sometimes when you do a lot of something, like getting a lot of packages, it just reminds you what you are up to. So yes, I think that can be problematic. And I think people did start thinking about these things, and social issues just also became more salient, I think, at that time.
Jorge, I wanted to ask you, you know, we got a listener from listener Charlie, who wants to acknowledge that, you know, it's a privileged conversation about what we got to buy rather than what we had to buy, or those who could not afford to buy because of income and job loss. How would you think about that? I mean, given the kind of society we live in, do you feel like consumer grad is something that's exclusive to, you know, the upper middle class, or do you feel like that it, you know, extends across the entire income range?
Yes, that's an excellent point, that when we're thinking about this, it's easy to think about middle to upper class consumers and not necessarily the lower class that are living paycheck to paycheck. We do see that the regret does span all income levels, but the kind of regret experience might be having greater repercussions at the lower tiers, right? The regret that we experienced, myself, for instance, with the exercise bike, well, that's a regret in terms of having the kind of use, right? That it was, it ended up being low utility for me. Or perhaps, you know, other people might experience regret from, say, a poor product quality, or that they felt like it was a heat of moment purchase. But what you might see in other like lower income consumers are things like regret through having better choices or lower prices that come after the fact that we might not necessarily think so much about if price wasn't really an issue, but price could be that regret that is experienced by those at lower income.
Yeah. Let's bring in Kathleen from Santa Rosa. Welcome, Kathleen.
Hi. I just wanted to sort of say the reverse of what the topic is, which is that I learned what I didn't need. I learned how much I could get by with things like libraries, where I'd been buying a lot of books. I looked in my closet and realized I probably never needed to buy another piece of clothing in my life. I don't know. I just found that I didn't need as much as I thought. And a lot of the things that I'd been dreaming about what would be nice or pretty, I realized they don't matter to me anymore. And something happened during those couple of years of isolation that made me rethink a lot. And I also became much more conscious of the environment, of the people in need in this world. I don't know. It was a big shift in my mentality to have that realization.
Did you make other changes in your life, you know, aside from that one?
Oddly, I'm something of a loner and fairly shy. I discovered I missed people more than I thought. And I've made more effort to reach out a little bit. I haven't changed my whole personality, but it was really life-altering for me, that experience, the introspection and the thinking about how to cope with the whole situation.
Yeah. And do you feel like those changes are sticking even as things kind of have been crawling back towards normalcy? Do you feel like sort of permanently altered?
Yeah. Yes. And I'm sure that the manufacturing and economic world must shiver in their boots, but I don't look at ads much anymore. I don't read the kinds of magazines that say, oh, you need this dress, you need this piece of furniture, you need this, you need that. Mm-hmm. I'm looking more for the people who are talking about how to save the world.
Thank you so much. That's a beautiful thing that you've shared with us, Kathleen. I really appreciate it. And I love that call, Jorge and Perna. I'm not sure there's that much to say about that from a consumer perspective. But it's very, very touching. Let's go to another call. Let's bring in Pam in Berkeley. Welcome, Pam.
Thank you so much for taking my call. One of the things that I have a little regret for and wish I had better utilized the time that I did have during the pandemic, I lost my brother to cancer and we didn't get to say goodbye, which was very sad. And then I lost my job, and looking back, I wish I had been able to mobilize myself and use the time in ways that, you know, didn't get projects done and things that I could have been, you know, productive. But I did, you know, on the positive side, I did finally get into gear and motivated to do a lot of volunteering and helping people, which was very restorative for me. But that regret of not, you know, utilizing the amount of time I had does sit with me a little bit on my regret side.
Were you able to do something more recently, you know, celebrating the life of your brother or memorializing?
Yes, we finally did have to get to a chance to do a very lovely memorial and gathering of family. And, you know, as things loosen up, we now get together. Not as frequently as I'd like, but we definitely have regrouped. And I think everybody is just kind of coming out of the fog
and the shock
places where we found ourselves at.
Yeah. Thanks so much for sharing that, Pam. Sorry to hear that story as well. But I'm glad things are looking up. Thanks for that call. You know, Aparna, Pam's call really made me think about, you know, when people are blocked from doing things that they would really like to, you know, like people were unable to visit loved ones who died. People were unable to travel to see parents or new babies or all these experiences that are such a crucial part of what makes life worth living. Did people rechannel that energy? Is that one of the reasons why people did sort of buy and purchase some things they regret now?
You know, what both Pam and Kathleen said, I think they discovered what actually makes them feel happy. People are really bad at predicting what will make them feel happy. And we think that possessions will make us feel happy. But there's a lot of literature showing and studies showing that actually experiences and connecting with people, even doing things for others, makes us feel far happier. And it gives us a positive glow. It makes us feel good about who we are as people. And it also gives us positive memories. And especially at a time where negative things are happening, these things can be tremendously important. But of course, other people out of stress might have gone ahead and channeled, as you said, that energy into buying other products that they come to regret. And the more consequential the purchase, the more they would likely regret it. But I think certainly thinking about what makes people happy, I think both of them actually found things that made them happy, and that was a good way to cope. And I think that especially Pam, you know, you should give yourself credit for, give some slack. You did actually do so much and you managed to cope, and people cope differently. And so it is really wonderful that you found that you are such a resilient person as well.
Yeah. We're talking about the things people regret from the pandemic with Aparna LeBru, professor of marketing consumer psychologist at Kellogg School of Management, Northwestern, and Jorge Barraza, professor of psychology at USC. And we're hearing from you. You're talking about the changes you did or did not make during the pandemic, the things you bought or did not buy during the pandemic that you regret. You can give us a call, 866-733-6786. People have also been sharing things that they found unexpectedly delightful, actually, or unexpectedly powerful for them. The number is 866-733-6786. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or KQED Forum, and the email is forum@kqed.org. Mary tweets that her regrets were, quote, fantasy life purchases under lockdown, like a full-length vintage 1930s gown, thinking someday I'd be able to go to events again. She still hasn't had the occasion to wear it. There's also a really interesting one I wanted to ask you about, Jorge. One listener writes, at the beginning of the pandemic, I decided to start a pickling business. I bought a ton of mason jars to use as packaging, and I never started the pickle business, and the mason jars are all glasses in my house now. Do you see things like that, you know, where someone begins something but don't follow through on it? Feels like that's one of those things that generates the most regret, almost because the reminders of that intention or that unfulfilled goal are like right there all around your house holding flowers now instead of pickles.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think we can all relate to that in some way, that we get excited about a new venture, something that we're excited to explore. And we make that miscalculation of either how much we're going to like it or how much time it takes, right? It's again, that miscalculation that leads us down the wrong path. But, you know, who knows, that caller could have had a fantastic hobby or new venture through that. And ultimately what we see in the literature, much like a partner mentioned, is that this kind of experiential consumption tends to be what leads to more positive consumer experiences. And if it were to have succeeded, that would have been phenomenal, right? Because now they would have had a great new hobby or new venture that they would have been able to completely throw themselves into. Now, I had a similar experience, not during the pandemic, but, you know, when the whole home brewing craze was going on. And, you know, every once a month or every other month when I go to clean out my garage, it's staring me in the face. So yeah. It's definitely something we all are guilty.
You know, we've had a bunch of different commenters, listeners chiming in about pets. There are a lot of angry people. Lindsay tweets, "Do you regret buying a puppy? That's on you. You miscalculated that it would live longer than lockdown. You get an animal, you need to plan for its entire life, not just for your flimsy excuse of it's fun." Gross. Wallace tweets, "Pets. Been to several shelters over the last few months. Hundreds of abandoned animals. Anyone who returns pets or abandons them should not be allowed to adopt until vetted. All pet adoption should be a rigorous process." You know, and of course there's the adoption side of it, Jorge, but there's also, you know, us as people thinking about making a decision, particularly with another living creature. Is there kind of a checklist you could go through that would say, like, maybe, like, that would help you avoid a pet purchase that you regret rather than one that you love?
Absolutely. I think whenever we're thinking about a serious purchase like that, we should ask ourselves, do I want it or is it worth it? A want is very optional, right? It can be something that I want at that very spur of the moment time. But asking, is it worth it, is how much value, utility it can bring to your life. And if that cost of that, whether it's monetary or time or even emotional effort, is really worth obtaining that, say, puppy. And we really need to be honest with ourselves when we're doing that, right? Because at that moment, all those anticipated emotions we might be able to experience, that we see that cute little puppy and think about that puppy breath on us, but we don't think about how often we'll need to take it outside, how, you know, that'll be waking us up at 5 a.m. to take it out. So What's the job to be done here? Can I do a puppy, or maybe can I do a fish to start?
Yeah,
off?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Of course, the pandemic is not over, but we're talking about the purchases that people made in the heights of the pandemic and possible regrets or delights that have come from that. We are joined by Jorge Barraza, professor of psychology at USC, and Aparna Labru, consumer psychologist at the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern. One last comment here before we go into the break. Lisa writes, "I bought too many band posters, music stream shows, and band merchandise. All kinds of musical instruments, too. No regrets there, Lisa." I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned right after the break.
Support for Forum is sponsored by Stanford's Master of Liberal Arts program. Have you found yourself reflecting on your life and education? Perhaps you think it's too late or you're too busy to earn a master's degree. Stanford's part-time MLA program is designed for anyone, from recent college grads to retirees who'd like to pursue an interdisciplinary course of study in the liberal arts. MLA students also enjoy access to the world-class facilities on the Stanford campus. Information session held May 16th. Learn more at mla.stanford.edu.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Alexis Madrigal. We are talking about the pandemic decisions people made that they regret or that yielded them unlikely delight, joined by Jorge Barraza and Aparna Labru, professors in psychology. And we'd love to hear from you. Of course, the number is 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it's KQED Forum. And the email is forum@kqed.org. Let's hear from Mindy in San Francisco with a purchase she loves. Hey, Mindy,
Hello?
Can you hear me? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I actually bought an e-bike during the pandemic, which was an incredibly major purchase for me, but it's changed my life, and I love it, and I can't get enough miles on it. I've already done 4,000 miles since the pandemic, and now I feel like I can ride with anyone, any place, and I am just so happy. And it was because of the pandemic that I bought it, because the gyms were closed and I couldn't get any exercise. So
4,000 miles. Yeah. Are you, what do you think it changed for you? Just like you travel outside the city on the e-bike, or you go all the way across the city? Like, it feels like you purchased the bike, but what you really bought is those experiences, right?
Right. And I've actually joined a biking club, and now I don't feel like I'll be left behind because I can keep up, and I just enjoy that, not being in a glass in a car. I've been as far as Santa Rosa. I've been as down by San Jose, out by Sacramento. I just go all over, and I bought a bike rack for my car, which was also a major purchase as well. It's like, it was, I think, $3,000 for the bike and almost $1,000 for the bike rack. So that was a big, major thing for me. And I'm just so happy with it.
That's great. Well, I am happy for you, Mindy, and I'm also a little bit jealous, too, because I don't have an e-bike. Going into the pandemic, I was like, oh, I'm going to get an e-bike. This is how I'm going to get my kids around. And then just it didn't happen. And now, yeah, it feels like those few $1,000 probably not going to be spent anytime soon. We've got some more comments coming in. Chantal writes in to say, my kids were 5 and 7 when the pandemic started. So my mother, who lives in San Diego, offered to buy them a trampoline. We declined, but a few months later asked if she'd buy the kids a chicken coop instead. Our chickens now live in a fenced area of our front yard, and they've become a neighborhood attraction. We also have Kate wanted to give a shout out for what to do for purchases that people have regretted. She said, I want to give a shout out to Buy Nothing for being able to donate purchases that I regretted. I was able to gift the air fryer I bought and scarcely used to a teacher, as well as other items I decluttered. Great way to keep things out of the garbage. Remy writes, and I think this has come to you, Aparna. I would like your guests to assign value to just getting through this time rather than regrets about what we didn't do. The pandemic was so immobilizing emotionally. Please remind listeners to give themselves credit for the victory of simply muddling through this unprecedented time. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Aparna?
Sure. I think that it's really incredible, I think, what people, the extent of the unprecedented time they faced. So I think that people should give themselves credit, a little slack for what they did actually accomplish, and look back and do that kind of a counterfactual, rather than looking at things that they self-blame and think that they did not do well. I think that one of the most powerful things to make us feel good about the things we do is to have a little gratitude. And again, think about, make some downward comparisons and think about people who are less fortunate, and of course try and help them if we can, but how much we manage to accomplish. So I think these are things that make us feel good. And sometimes when you buy something, before buying it, it's important to have an abstract mindset, to have this little thing, to think about why am I doing it? Not only does that allow you to build a larger consideration set, and when you've built a larger consideration set of what all you can do, because you're thinking of your goals at a higher level, you'll have less regret later. But later on, when you look back at that purchase, you'll probably, again, associate it with a higher level goal that still persists, something that made you happy. I was ultimately doing it to go ahead and achieve something higher level, which still persists today. So I think these kind of things can help consumers actually be more satisfied with the kind of purchases they made. They didn't do anything wrong. They reacted to a time, and they fulfilled the goals that were more salient to them at that moment, and circumstances just changed over time.
Yeah. I think people really, I kind of said it in the introduction, but I feel like people kind of forget how much that overall environment shapes you know, kind of how they think of themselves and who they are and just, you know, just sense of self overall. Let's bring in Bernadette in Lafayette. Welcome, Bernadette.
Hi, Alex. Thank you. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Good. So we're older than most people in our 60s, and we had been living our life forever going to the laundromat. But when we got Trump's stimulus money, we bought a compact washer and dryer for our little place, and it changed everything. It's amazing that small of a purchase for other people, such a huge purchase for us, but it changed our lives completely. It was
just because it gave you that time back that previously you would have had to spend, you know, waiting at the laundromat, sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that it changed for you, or anything else changed in life, you feel like?
Well, yeah, I had to subsist on my own cooking, and I lost weight because I'm not a great cook.
You didn't start like, you know, doing online classes, you know, or like rewatching Jacques Pepin videos on KQED or anything?
No. I watched the British Bake Off, but I didn't take it up.
Hey, thank you so much, Bernadette. I do, you know, strong recommendation. It's free. It's for everyone. Jacques Pepin actually is amazing at teaching cooking. Even my kids agree. Thank you, Bernadette, for that call. Let's go to Frank in Mill Valley. Welcome, Frank.
Hi. I'd like to offer a positive, and that is the completely unexpected discovery of wooden jigsaw puzzles, laser cut with ferociously tiny joins, little what they call whimsical figures cut in the wood that that tracks the theme. I was never a puzzler, and my wife turned me on to it. We started doing them together and realized we were way too competitive. But now we have, I hate to admit, something like 70 of these jigsaw puzzles.
You have a downright collection, Frank. You have a collection.
Oh, you know, lending, and it's like a lending library. You know, you don't want to give away books, but you feel like you have to spread the good news. The time that I used to spend commuting, maybe a hair more, God forbid I should admit it, calmly focused on building an image of a painting or a scene that I really like, has absorbed not an inordinate amount of time, but it's a meditative part of my life that I never had before. Mm. So there's about three or four manufacturers that are really good at it, and someplace like Liberty or Mosaic Puzzles would repay some close study if anybody's interested in a new hobby. I can't overstate how much pleasure they've given us.
Oh, that's great. Hey, Frank, I love that. Also, surefire sign somebody has entered the hobby of doing puzzles. They start using the noun puzzler. I feel like
but there is still a competitive edge where each of us looks at the other doing a puzzle we've already done and says, oh, I did that in a day, which of course is BS.
In case you're listening, Frank's wife, he'd like you to know. Yeah.
The process of it makes you see paintings in particular. I've kind of concentrated on paintings. My wife likes landscapes, but either or, you see the image completely differently when you assemble it. Yeah. It's a not a master class, but I'm certainly not a painter. But it makes me appreciate the art in ways that I never expected.
Oh, that's beautiful. Hey, thank you so much for that call, Frank. And, you know, Jorge, I thought I'd toss this to you because, you know, you buy something as a puzzle, but what you get out of it is really an experience of a greater appreciation of art. It feels like, you know, is there a reliable way for us to know when a purchase may lead to that kind of experience, right? When something isn't just like, you know, a momentary pleasure, say, but could lead us to have a different thing happen in our lives.
Right. You know, it's a little difficult to ascertain that because for Frank, he had that experience with the puzzles. As for me, I'll be honest, I did a lot of puzzles during the pandemic, and I unfortunately did not have that same experience. But what we see during this time of the pandemic is that it allowed us all to have more time to experiment, more time to take risks, more time to find new ways of doing things that we didn't do before because the old ways of doing things were not possible or accessible. So with this more free time has come that ability to do these new hobbies. And I would say if there is one thing, it's that ability to experiment. And fortunately, when it comes to puzzles, I'm sure there's low entry to that where there is not necessarily regret. But as the previous caller mentioned, the pickling thing, that's probably a bigger purchase and a bigger investment that would then lead more likely to that regret experience.
All right. Let's bring in Sanjivini in Los Gatos. Welcome.
Hi. Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm a local pediatrician. We have a private office, and we are a small business. During the pandemic, I was really concerned and wanted to make sure that we don't close down and have to discharge all our employees. So that was my main focus, and we made sure the office stayed open most hours. We did have some flexibility, but the office was open, the wages were given, the employees were all there, and we did not fire anybody or let go anybody. And so, of course, you know, I was so happy that we kept the business open, but also served our patients to, we were totally, completely, all the time available for them to answer their questions and also see them. And we made all the changes in the office to be able to carefully see patients as needed. So we spent a lot of time and energy focused on that. So we have all focused on that. And the pandemic passed. And so we didn't take any time off at all, not even 1 hour less work in the office. So I love that part, that we were able to step it up and not close the office, and everybody stayed and we saw our patients and we gave our service. I'm really happy and proud about that. But I have a little regret that if we had thought through a little bit more, we could have given ourselves a little bit time off and pursued a little, gotten some rest and pursued some hobbies. Or maybe exercise more. We did not do any of that. Yeah. So I have a tiny bit of regret of that. But
yeah.
I'm mostly happy that we were able to step it up and work around fulfilling the needs of both our employees and our patients.
You know, I feel this one particularly, too, because during the, you know, the early days of the pandemic, which, of course, you know, it continues dragging on, just so people don't keep writing in saying the pandemic's not over. We know. But it is different from the early chaotic days of the pandemic. And I think during that time, I was also working, like, you know, round the clock on this thing called the COVID Tracking Project. And I too, have a little, even though I really appreciated that experience and it felt very meaningful to me, it also was, it was very hard because life slowed down for a lot of people. But for people who were around the response, I think life sped up. And so it's complicated. Thanks so much for that call, Sanjivini. Let's get in Dino in San Leandro. Welcome, Dino.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for calling.
Good. I love the conversation this morning. One of the greatest gifts that we were able to buy during this pandemic was a travel trailer. So it's a travel trailer is pretty much a house on wheels. We have three kids under five, and the experiences that they have received in the last 3 years has just been absolutely epic. You know, instead of spending literally half the amount of the trailer to go to Hawaii for 10 days, now we're able to take smaller trips on a whim. You know, being self-employed and off for about a year and a half, our longest trip with our kids was 32 days straight in our travel trailer.
Oh, my God. 32 days?
32 days was our longest trip, and that was the very first year of COVID.
Wow. Where'd you go?
You know, we did the Oregon coast. We took Highway 1 all the way to Oregon. Our friend has a farm and a ranch in Oregon. So, you know, we took our time up to Oregon, having, you know, at that point, only two kids. You know, you can only travel so long per day.
Yeah.
But the experiences and the wildlife, my wife being a teacher and being off for the summers, and again, me being self-employed, having the unfortunate time of not working was the best time we could ask for.
Man, What a fascinating adventure, 32 days. Just for given that you've done all this research, what's the best place that you went to from the Bay Area with a travel trailer?
You know, you can't really. Every stop, every campground, every vista has its own very unique things. You can't really pinpoint that. Every day is an adventure. Every day is fun. You know, just traveling that coast from here to Oregon, you know, if you haven't experienced that, I think a lot of people head south. You know, heading north is a different experience. But, yeah. You know, everybody bought a travel trailer, an RV during the pandemic, and I really hope, you know, everybody hangs on to it. I know it was a fad, kind of like the puppy thing that you guys talked mm-hmm. about. It was definitely a fad. Great adventure for the kids, and you can just do it on a whim and not spend thousands of dollars on airfare.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Dino. Appreciate that. I was hoping to get a secret campground, but obviously Dino's keeping them to himself. Jorge, just to help us wrap up here, do you think that this pandemic has altered consumer psychology in some, you know, deep or fundamental way? Or do you think things will snap back the closer we get to normalcy?
Well, yes and no. Consumer psychology is pretty fundamental. The fundamentals are still there in terms of things like scarcity and cost-benefit calculations and how the degree to which emotions drive consumer behavior. But there are trends that appear to be with us to stay. The drive towards convenience that consumers have been putting a greater value on that. And accessibility, having online shopping be something that we gravitate towards more because that was essentially the thing that was available to us during the pandemic. But ultimately, like we heard from a lot of callers, that this was a time where just their way of functioning, their habits, the kind of things that they just did automatically in their day-to-day life were disrupted. And so they had to build new habits. They had to find new ways of doing things. And for some folks, yeah, of course they regret some of these things, but for others, this was a good thing because it allowed them to take those risks and find those new hobbies or that free time or recognize what they valued and search for that social connection. So yeah. I think in the net, it was positive for a lot of people, even though we might have regretted, you know, mm-hmm. purchasing that exercise equipment here and there.
We've been talking about the pandemic decisions that people made, those they regretted and those that filled them with delight. We've been joined by Jorge Barraza, professor of psychology, director of the Applied Psychology Master's Program at USC. And Aparna Labru, professor of marketing and consumer psychology at Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern. Thank you both so much for joining the show. I'm Alexis Madrigal. Stay tuned for another hour of Forum Ahead with guest host Rachel Miro.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, the Generosity Foundation, and the Heising-Simons Foundation.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.